So, great. So, next Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Love would have been a good topic for a sermon this Sunday. Sadly, I'm not going to be talking about love. I'm going to be speaking about breakups. How unromantic, you might wonder. I don't know if we realize this, but all of us who are followers of Jesus go through a breakup every Sunday during our worship service. Every Sunday, we break up our love affair with money. If this is your first time in New City, you'll figure this out by the end of the service. At the end of every service, we pass a nice, bright-looking golden bag that symbolizes our breaking up with money. We give away some of our money. Those of us, most of us who are followers of Jesus, we give away a tithe or 10% of our money every month. That's the first week. And then over and above that, we give offering every week. If this is your first time in New City, if you're still checking Jesus out, if you're still checking New City out, please do not come under any pressure when the bag passes by. It's absolutely fine. If this is your first time here, I'm willing to bet that whoever invited you this morning to visit New City, I bet he or she did not tell you that I'm going to be asking for your 10% of your salary for the rest of your lives. That's what this is about. Relax. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to ask for a 10% of your salary. That's not the fees you have to pay for coming here. And all you got was some tea. But we do want you to know this. Most of us who are genuine followers of Jesus actually do give at least 10% of our salary every month back to God through the church. And as we go through this talk, I know this may not quite relate to you, but here's something you might want to ponder about. Why would people give away 10% of their salaries? We hate paying taxes, as if that was not enough. Why would people joyfully, freely give away 10% of their salaries every month? I'd like you to think about this as I go through this talk this morning. Unless something really beautiful, unless something really powerful that is happening here, those of us who are educated, intelligent, articulate, successful, we wouldn't be giving away 10% of our salary every month. Unless something beautiful is happening here. Think about that. And so every Sunday we use our worship service to break up with money. When the time for offering comes, we tell, "Hey, Mr. Money," or "Miss Money," depending on whether we are male or female, "this chemistry that we had between us, I think was going on this week, is over. I know I flirted with you a little bit, but that was a mistake. It's over now." You know, that's what we do. We break our idolatry of money. All of us are vulnerable to loving our careers, our relationships, our money more than we love God. And so this act of offering is actually breaking that idolatry, declaring to ourselves that, "Jesus, I love you more than I love money." Jokes apart, this morning we're going to be talking about giving or generosity. And more specifically, I want to be talking about what does giving look like in a missional community. Okay, and this is the sixth in a 7-part sermon series that we are doing on what are our core values as a church. As you've been hearing for the past 5 weeks, we have a simple crisp yet rich sentence that we use to describe our values. We are a gospel-centered missional community that loves the city. If you are walking into the series for the first time, I'm just going to request Cindy to, we have these values printed out on a card and explain. I'm just going to, Cindy, to walk by, and if this is your first time in a church, you might want to pick up this card which explains and unpacks our values. I'll talk about that for a quick 2 minutes. To be gospel-centered means to live with the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done for us at the very center of our lives. To be a missional community means that we love the outsider as much as we love each other. It means we hang out with outsiders as much as we hang out with each other. And when Felix spoke about missional community a few weeks ago, he gave the example of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Trinity was absolutely fulfilled and happy hanging out with each other. They had no need for anyone outside to feel fulfilled. And yet the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, included us outsiders into their community. And so even though the Trinity was absolutely fulfilled hanging out with each other, they reached out and included us. And that's where this whole value of being a missional community, of loving outsiders, those outside the church, as much as we love each other, comes from. And this is the third week we are actually looking at this whole value of being a missional community. In the first week, which Felix preached, he talked about how evangelism in a missional community is actually teamwork. We're not alone in this world, in this, you know, beautiful privilege that we have of sharing to the world who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We do that together as a team. The second thing which we saw the week before last is that we figured out that a missional community is not characterized by a lack of conflict. Even in missional community, there are conflicts, and we saw that, but missional communities are characterized by grace to reconcile and rise above these conflicts. And so this week, which is the third week we're going to be spending on this value of being a missional community, we're going to be looking at what does generosity look like in a missional community. Now, before I'm going to be basing this talk on a passage, a couple of passages from the Bible. But before I dive into that passage, I want to make one thing very clear. We are not talking about generosity because we are short of funds as a church. Far from it. We started off this financial year with a budget. And as we come close to the financial year, we're going to probably end with maybe 25 or 30% more than what we had budgeted for in terms of giving from the church. So this sermon is not a fundraising talk. By the way, there's absolutely nothing wrong in doing a fundraising talk. We are the church. It is our joy and our privilege to give sacrificially, to give so much that it hurts to build his church. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong with a fundraising. And if there is a need, I will not hesitate one bit to do a fundraising talk. All I'm sharing, all I'm saying, I'm merely clarifying that this talk is not because we need funds. Tomorrow, should there be a need for funds, we will do a fundraising talk. This talk is to build our values. And you don't build values only when there is a need. We build values all through. And that's what this talk about. So the goal of this sermon is to help us see how generosity is practiced in a missional community. And I have two passages that I'd like to read for us. Both are from a book, the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is part of the New Testament. That's that part of the Bible which is written after Jesus was born. And what happens is the whole story of the life of Jesus here on earth, his sinless life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension is captured in four Gospels. And once that is done, the book of Acts talks about how the early church was built after Jesus went back to heaven. We know Jesus is going to be coming back again, but Acts talks about how the church was built. So that's the context. Jesus has been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He was with the disciples for 40 days, and then he's gone back up to heaven, and then the early church story is captured in the book of Acts. That's for those of us who may not have read the Bible before. Allow me to read these passages for us. They, that's the early followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's Acts chapter 2. I'd like to read one more passage for us. That's from Acts chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. If you've noticed, I'm sure you've noticed, that the content of both the passages are very similar. And the reason I read both the passages are that they are repeated twice in the Bible. And the reason they are repeated twice in the Bible, I believe, is to help us see that this was not a one-off act. Generosity was not a one-off act. But generosity was a lifestyle. Can I pray for us as we dive in to this passage? Father God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, we would be able to see Christ Jesus. Because Lord, when we see you, generosity will not be a dilemma in our lives. We will be inspired to give joyfully. So we beg you, Father, we beg you, Holy Spirit, would you help us see Jesus clearly in all his beauty, in all his truth, in all his power this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to draw basically three things for us from this passage. Giving in a missional community is characterized by three very important aspects: sacrifice, unity, and grace. Sacrifice, unity, and grace. And we're going to draw all these three things from the two passages that we just read this morning. The first thing I want to start off with: sacrifice. Extraordinarily sacrificial generosity is the defining character of a missional community. So this early church, which is described in the book of Acts, was a missional community. And we are modeling ourselves as a church on this first missional community. And two things are happening relating to generosity in this missional community, that is the early church, in this passage. First, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. Second, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold it, bought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So two things are happening here. First, whatever they had and they were regularly using, they did not consider it their own. They shared it with everyone. The concept of ownership was radically redefined in the early church. You know, in our context, it might look something like this. You know, I would wake up one Tuesday morning, come down to my parking lot, and find that my car is not there. And then I get a text from Arman. He say, "Hey, Anand, I felt the need for your car. I've taken it." So I said, "Cool." And I take an Uber and head to work. You know, and so there was no concept of home. You know, if anybody feels, you know, they wanted to land up at their home, they're welcome to. You know, we share everything. That's what this means. Literally, that's what this means. They did not consider anything to be their own. But they shared whatever they were using, daily use, their home, their car, their phones, iPhones. They shared. Maybe they didn't share Facebook accounts, I don't know. Right? So the whole concept of ownership was redefined. Radical generosity. That's the first thing that we see. The second thing that we see that's happening here, the things they were not using regularly, the holiday home in Alibag, the vacation home in Manali, they sold that and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they were using was shared with everyone. What they were not using was sold and bought to the apostles. Radical generosity. What was the early church giving? They were giving everything. That's what a missional community looks like. We are a missional community. And this morning, I want to celebrate our sacrificial giving that is building his church here. You know, we've been meeting in this venue for about 2 years now, and every Sunday we pay about 25,000 rupees in rent to rent out this facility just for the Sunday morning. That's about a lakh a year, that's about 12 lakhs, lakh a month, that's about 12 lakhs a year. And from the very beginning, we've been able to pay these bills because some of us who came together to start this missional community, were consistently, joyfully, sacrificially giving at least 10% of their salaries. We call that tithing. And I'll explain what tithing means. So don't get too nervous. As I said, it's not a demand. You're not expected to give, especially if this is your first time in church. And I'll explain what this is as we go along. We call that tithing. We've been giving. And our tithing has fully taken care of these expenses. So if you've been tithing, if you're one of those who hear joyfully, sacrificially, giving at least, the word at least is very important when we talk about tithing, at least 10%, we want you to know that your giving, your generosity is building this church. Your generosity is building this missional community. And you've been a blessing to so many people who are part of the church. So many people who've come, visited, been blessed. You've been part of God's plan to bless their lives. I know some of us have been giving intentionally. I know some of us have been giving consistently. We've been giving generously. And I want to celebrate us this morning. Let me say one more thing. Those who truly belong also build. In other words, we cannot merely belong and not build. You know, if we consider New City is an amazing church, you know, we do think of ourselves as a cool church. We do. I mean, let's face it, sometimes to the point of sinful pride. I'll be the first one to admit it. Now, if we feel that New City is an amazing church, if we feel that we are so happy that we found this church community, if we believe that God is changing our lives through this church community, if we believe all that is happening, then I have to ask us this question: are we joyfully giving at least 10% of our salaries to build this community? Because you see, those who belong will also build. Why 10%? What's the big deal about that 10%? I hope to answer that right at the end. Please bear with me. If we believe we belong in this church, we must also put our hands to building this church. That's a joy. We cannot say that I will only belong, but I will not build. And for those of us who are in that place, I would only say you're missing out on a joy. No condemnation. We don't want you to feel any shame, but you're missing out on something beautiful. And one important way in which we build this church, build his church, is through our giving. There are many ways. You know, Eva's sitting there with helping us with production. Ritesh is helping us with mixing. So many people come and serve in so many ways. People open up our homes. We have gap groups all over the city where people welcome, people host. Many ways in which we serve. But when we belong, we must also build. Consider this. If those before us had not given 10%, at least 10%, we would not exist as a church. If we are 65, 70 people today as a community, it's because the first 20 gave. And if this 65, 70 does not give, we will not become 150. That's how God grows his kingdom. We keep saying this, the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its future members. And being a missional community is a core value. We love outsiders as much as we love each other. And the only reason, only way it's possible for us to continue is because we have been giving. Friends, if you look at, excuse me. Sorry about that. If you look at the early church, as much as the resurrected Jesus was very fresh in their memories, as much as the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully with remarkable signs and wonders, God still used the generosity of his people to build his church. A missional community gives joyfully and sacrificially. That's the first thing I wanted to draw from this passage for us. The second thing I wanted to draw from this passage for us is unity. Such sacrificial giving is not random, but it's organized through missional community. I've been speaking about tithing. Followers of Jesus joyfully set aside at least 10% of their tithing, of their salaries, as the first joyful step of a long and lifelong journey of generosity. But one of the mistakes we often make when we think about tithing is we think of tithing and generosity from a very individual perspective. We tend to think that tithing is an individual decision. I have to decide for myself. And we see tithing and generosity as an individual action. It's about us. But this passage shows us that the early church never saw tithing, and even in the Old Testament, people never saw tithing as an individual action. It was not seen as an individual affair. They saw tithing and generosity always as a community project. Let's look at these two passages. All the believers were one in heart and mind. It is this unity of being one, of being on mission together, that prompted their generosity. So it was not an individual decision, but the community came together as a whole and said the mission of Jesus, loving Jesus and making his love known to the world, is the most important thing in our lives. So we're going to come together as a community. We're going to pool our time, our very selves, and our money together to build his church here on earth. And we see that again in the second passage. All the believers were together and had everything in common. The early church saw generosity as something they did together as a community rather than seeing something that they did as individually. They were of one heart and mind. So their mentality, their thinking was not I tithe. Their thinking was we tithe. The difference, the big difference between these two mindsets is simply this. When I think I tithe, I'm thinking I tithe so God will bless me. But when our mindset is we tithe together, we are giving because we are building Jesus' kingdom, his church here on earth. We're building something together as a community. And so from time to time, people sold their holiday homes, their extra car or whatever, and they bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why did they lay it at the apostles' feet? Are apostles superstars? Not at all. They were laying at the apostles' feet because they wanted unity in the way the money was spent. They wanted unity in the way the money was utilized, the way the money was invested. And they were submitting their giving, they were submitting their generosity to the leadership of the church. If they had sold their houses and given it to different projects in different parts of the city and the world, would it have been wrong? It would not have been wrong. It is not wrong to do that. Generosity can never be wrong. But if they had done that, they would not have been able to exist and function as a missional community. So one of the defining characteristics of a missional community, of giving in a missional community, is there is always unity of purpose in giving. When we are a missional community, when we think like a missional community, when we organize ourselves as a missional community, and when we live as a missional community, we bring unity in our giving. We bring our tithes, we bring our offering, and we submit it to the leadership of the church so that our giving can be pooled together to create a more focused and greater impact so that we are joined together in mission. This is how giving is practiced in a missional community. That's why we tithe to the local church, the church we belong to. Let me speak about this practically. You know, I share that we 15, 20 of us who kind of started off, and we've since grown to about 65, 70 people, and I showed us how the giving of the initial bunch of people helped us grow, and now our giving is going to help us to grow to the next stage of 150 or wherever God takes us. Now, this was only possible because we lived as a missional community, pooling in our generosity to together make a greater impact on the city. Now, some of the early people who were there was Ben. And Ben, we know, keeps going to Kenya. He probably spends more time in Kenya than he does in Mumbai. Imagine if Ben had said, you know, I went to Kenya. I saw a lot of poor, malnourished children. So I want to give my tithe and my generosity to the malnourished children in Kenya. Anything wrong? Absolutely nothing wrong. Good, he's doing that. And Ajay says, I've been counseling these minor girls. The remand home that I go to is in really bad shape. These girls don't even have food to eat. So I'm going to give, Anand, can we give our tithe to these girls? And I say, sure, Ajay, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And we give our tithe. Cindy is on the board of an NGO which also works with trafficked women. She says, this NGO is doing great work. I want to give my tithe there. Absolutely fine. Good. You know, we must serve these. So she does that. And Joel loves music. He likes helping sound systems. So Joel says, every Sunday I want to go to a different church and I want to give them a speaker or a mixer. That's what I'm going to use my tithing for. And he does that. Anything wrong with that? Absolutely nothing wrong. Generosity is always good. It's just that we won't exist today as a community. You won't be there. Those of us who are new or we've been coming for the last year and a half, we wouldn't be here. Because we weren't functioning together as a missional community. We were not pooling joyfully our resources together to come together and make an impact. And if we had been giving like that, the way I just outlined, I'm willing to bet we wouldn't even, these four or five people or 10 of us, we wouldn't even be together because we would have drifted apart. Because each of us, we are following our things. Nothing wrong with those. So one of our values is we want to be a missional community. You have to decide for yourself. We're not going to force you. You're free to decide. No, we will never preach of tithing as a command. You have to obey. That's not how we want to talk about tithing. You're free. If you feel God is doing something as a missional community, would you consider pooling in your generosity at least 10% to come in and build his church? Now, if we don't tithe, I'm talking about all of us, we will not grow. That's how God grows his church. That brings us to the third and the last defining aspect of how generosity works in a missional community. The first two we looked at were sacrifice and unity, and the third is grace. Grace is the one true motive for united and sacrificial generosity. Why did the early church give so sacrificially? How could they give everything? What is the motive of their generosity? I can definitely say that between the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of the church to the day of Pentecost, till this early church is described in Acts chapter 2 and 4, nobody preached any sermon on generosity or giving, just as I'm preaching now. Nobody, there's no record, biblical record of anyone ever preaching on generosity, but the early church spontaneously began to give without being taught generosity because the gospel, who Jesus is, and what he did for us, God himself, Jesus, who in very nature was God, holy, hating sin, hating your wickedness and mine, became man. He was sinless as a man. He deserved to be blessed by God as a man. But instead, God himself, in the form of man, walks up to the cross and bears the full force of the fury of a holy God for your sins and mine upon himself. God gave up his son, Jesus. Jesus gave up himself. And Jesus was punished for every sin of yours and mine. So that when we believe in Jesus, when we put our hope in Jesus, God will accept us and not condemn us. God will welcome us and not punish us. That's what Jesus did. The early church understood this. When they understood this, nothing was their own. They realized they did not belong to themselves. They gave themselves up fully to God. Generosity flows naturally and spontaneously at the foot of the cross. The early church knew this. For you know, and that's what Stanley was talking about earlier, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake and mine, he became poor so that through his poverty, we might become rich. We know this grace. How can we not give? You know, one of our values is being gospel-centered. Our generosity is a good measure of how gospel-centered we really are. That's the third defining characteristic of a missional community, grace. Generosity is fueled by grace. I want to close with some thoughts on tithing. A lot of people often wonder, is tithing really a New Testament thing? In the Old Testament, before Jesus was born, before grace was fully and clearly revealed, people lived by the law that was given by a man named Moses. And Moses, in the law of Moses, there's a lot of talk about tithing, and that's when it really became popular and was practiced, and it went on for many centuries. But the truth is, even before tithing was introduced in the law, there was a man before Moses, Abraham, in whose line Jesus descended. And even before the law was introduced, Abraham began the practice of tithing. He gave a tithe, 10%, to a priest named Melchizedek, who was a mysterious figure, but who kind of points to Jesus in many ways. That's the topic of another sermon, perhaps, for another day. And so tithing began to be practiced as a law, part of the law, even though it originated before the law. But Jesus fulfilled all of the law on our behalf, and he also died as the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. So according to the law, for every sin, you had to sacrifice something. You know, if it's a small sin, you'll have to buy a dove and slaughter it to pay the price for your sins. Big sin, goat. Bigger sin, horse, or whatever. So a service like this, you know, we'll all be bringing in different animals. And I'll be sitting here and judging. Okay, dove, good week. Not that big a sin. Horse, big. Right? Things like that. So they would have to come and sacrifice. We no longer bring that sacrifice when we come in because Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. So if Jesus fulfilled the law and we no longer have to bring the sacrifice, why are people still stuck up on that 10%, which is an Old Testament thing? That's a question I'm sure all of us have wondered about. So is tithing really part of a culture of grace? Is tithing really gospel-centered in that sense? Hear me out on this. First, Jesus did make a reference to tithing, but it was only a passing reference to tithing, and it was actually an indirect reference to tithing. Tithing was not the subject. He was dealing with something else. He just mentions tithing. All through the epistles, which is the books that are written to the church, there is no one mention, there's not even a single mention of giving 10% as a tithe. That's fact. That's biblical fact. Now, please hear me carefully. Therefore, I cannot defend giving 10% of our salary as a rule in the New Testament. Hear me carefully. I haven't finished. I cannot defend giving 10% of our salary as a tithe in the New Testament. But I can defend, and not only will I defend, but I will also actively teach giving 100% of our money, 100% of our time, 100% of our very selves to God. That is the model of the New Testament. As we saw in these two passages, the early believers basically abandoned 10%. I mean, why bother with 10%? I'm selling everything that I have and laying it at the apostles' feet. Everything that I have that I'm using is no longer my own. It belongs to us as a community. So they abandoned 10% and they gave 100%. They abandoned the demand of the law giving 10% of income, and they embraced the joy of grace, giving 100% of their money, of their time, of their skills, and their very self. So I cannot defend 10%, but I can defend, and I will teach about giving 100% of all we are. It's a challenge. Anything we bring, anything less we bring, is an inadequate response. So where do we start? So as a missional community, we come together and say, we believe in grace. The least we can do is be better than the law. If the law says 10%, the least we can do, least we can start off, is by saying, I want to give at least 11%. I want to just at least meet that. And that's the common ground. And together, because we want to do lives together, because we want to be missional together, we come together and say, we want to give. And that's why we talk about this 10%. There are three views on tithing, as I close in the next couple of minutes. Three views on tithing. The first view is a legalistic view. Tithing is a command. If you don't give, God's not going to bless you. If you haven't been tithing regularly, so the job interview you're going through, no way you're going to get the job. Okay, so that month we tithe, right? So that's legalistic giving. Or, God, I've been tithing regularly for the last 12 months. That you do the quick math. I'm adding up to so much. How much are you going to bless me? That's a very legalistic view of tithing. A licentious view of tithing, it's okay. Jesus loves me. God doesn't need my money. It's okay if I don't give. Big deal. That's a licentious view. Both are flawed. Both are wrong. The gospel-centered view is Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that through his poverty, we might become rich. How can we hold anything back? I'd like to sum up with just these three questions. What did the early church give? They gave everything. That's the first principle. Sacrifice characterizes the missional community. How did the early church give? They give together. They give united. And that's where the principle of tithing or predominantly rooting our generosity through the local church. That's where that principle comes from. Why did the early church give? Because they were gospel-driven. Grace was the motive. I want to close with one thought. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are not yet tithing, if you have experienced the power and the beauty of the gospel in your lives, if you're excited about this community, if you are experiencing God doing something deep in your heart, would you consider tithing? For those of us who are not followers of Jesus, who are just checking Jesus out, thank you for being so patient and listening to the last 30 minutes. We appreciate that. We value you. Thank you. And I do hope, as I said earlier, think about this question. We do seem intelligent, successful, articulate professionals, artists, entrepreneurs. Why would we give? Why would we commit for the rest of our lives? I've been doing this most of the last 20 years. And I'm joyfully committing myself for the rest of my life. Till the day I earn any income, I want to give at least 10%. And I want to keep growing that 10% slowly. Why would we do that unless something beautiful is happening? I want to close with the words of Purnith. Purnith, for those of you or those of us who do not know him, is exploring Jesus in this community. We met him at a gig in one of the pubs where some of us performed, and he enjoyed the community. So he's joined us and he's checking Jesus out. Hopefully he's going to be singing next week. He's played the guitar for our worship team. And Purnith was sharing this with some of us, and I kind of spoke to him again today, and I tried to capture as best as I could his own words. And this is what Purnith says. He said, all my life, a lot of things were going on. I won't get into all the details. But Purnith said, I was looking to something to believe in. I was amazed when he articulated it like that. You know, that's deep. That's profound stuff. He said, I was looking for something to believe in. So I want to just show Purnith as an example and speak to those of us who are not followers of Jesus, who are just checking Jesus out. Could this be? Could Jesus, Christ Jesus, who died for us and who inspires people, professionals, intelligent people, to give away at least 10% of their salaries every month for the rest of their lives, could this be something to believe in?